We're going to direct the usher to turn on the fan as we did on Sunday, if we could do that right now. The fan right here. Could you please turn it on? And that is because it is going to get very warm. So we want to make sure you're all as comfortable as possible for this sermon. Today is the Feast of Corpus Christi. And this is the epistle, the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I myself have received from you, the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, also the cup after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment to himself." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 56 to 59. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live because of the Father, so who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have the privilege of offering this Mass on this one of the greatest feasts of the year, Corpus Christi, and you have the privilege and the gift from God to be here. To be united liturgically and, God willing, sacramentally when you receive Holy Communion at this most beautiful feast. This liturgical year that we have that begins with the first Sunday of Advent and ends on the last Sunday after Pentecost is renewed every year. So God liturgically, mystically, sacramentally superimposes over the solar year, the year we function as being a part of the created universe, the way God created the earth, the sun, and everything it happens. And each day as it occurs scientifically, all these things, God superimposes feast days and masses for the year. And then each day we assist at Mass, God willing, or in the days we can, a Mass for the day. And this, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, is given as a gift to us today. to honor, first of all, the Holy Trinity. It's like an extension of the feast of last Sunday. And then especially to give honor and glory to the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. To renew, reenact, make present again Jesus' death on the cross. That is what the Mass is. To offer to God the Father his death on the cross. And it is done at the Mass, but also as a fruit of that, Jesus Christ, as it is recalled in the readings of today, especially the epistle, the new ritual, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, as it was given to the apostles and to their successors and to the whole world. No one is excluded. We're all invited. From that first Mass to this very day, no one is excluded unless he or she refuses to eat of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can receive is we first have to believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So the liturgical year is a journey that we are on. We all have our own path, and that path is meant to go to heaven. And here at this little chapel, this beautiful day, to prepare this chapel and the grounds for the Mass and the procession with our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, great effort is made to honor in a small way, but with the most sincerity and love that we can produce for Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Our community, servants of the Holy Family, and the Carmelite sisters, we exist for the Holy Eucharist, for the Blessed Sacrament, for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We will live every day do the best we can to strive to honor God and Jesus in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and in the Blessed Sacrament. We will live for that. That's why we live. That's our motive. And that's how we will, God willing, die. We will die for Jesus Christ, so we can fulfill our road, our path to heaven, with God's grace, of course. We cannot do it. None of us can without God's help. So this feast was instituted by heaven to re-emphasize in a joyful way the Holy Eucharist, honor and devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, so that we may recall and make present the mysteries surrounding our Lord's life. Liturgically, we make those present, but it's really present. And not as it for centuries was just on Holy Thursday, which is one of the most holy and sacred days of the year, but it had always the tone of not only joy, but sadness, because that was the day our Lord was betrayed and he was about to be put to death. So the Holy Trinity decided from all eternity, about 1,000 years ago, to have a special feast honoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Remember, our Lord is always living, watching us, living in the tabernacle. Our faith tells us that, reveals that. And we have to respond. We can't be passive. It is without exception, practically without exception, that traditional Catholics, Novus Ordo Catholics, Protestants, people of other religions, atheists, agnostics, enemies even, when they come to these doors and come to right there and they see this chapel, they are overwhelmed. They are sometimes surprised. They're shocked. They're moved to tears. Because for some reason, in this chapel, God has willed to give most people, if not all, some grace that they actually can feel that God is present here. And this day is the day, one day of the year when it's made most manifest. So if you remember, maybe about 6 months ago, we had the Feast of Christmas, and there's that term, the name of our Lord, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, this is the day that it is perfected and made so obvious, because God is with us in the Blessed Sacrament. Here is the introit for today's Mass from Psalm 80. He fed them with the best of wheat, alleluia, and filled them with honey from the rock, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing joyfully to God our strength. Acclaim the God of Jacob. This was the words from King David about the chosen people, the Hebrew people, how God fed them with the best wheat and honey. That prefigured, that was a symbol of the Holy Eucharist, no doubt. And I just read, it says, sing joyfully. That's what we do at this Mass. We sing with joy. The beautiful chant composed by St. Thomas Aquinas. And the words, the most maybe beautiful and incomparable of the whole year, the liturgical year. But it says, sing joyfully to God our strength. Why do I make that point? Because we are all beset by troubles and temptations and weakness. But God is our strength. He is extending his hand to each one of us. And we have to just look up and grab on and take his precious gift of himself in the Blessed Sacrament. These words from the epistle and gospel of this Mass that Holy Mother the Church through St. Thomas Aquinas put for today's Mass. It is impossible for any human being to deny the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament unless he or she deliberately rejects the scripture, the words of Jesus Christ. Those words he said to the apostles in the context and after the Last Supper. He says, to repeat, take and eat, this is my body which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It can mean nothing else than what the words say, that it is the true body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. It's not a symbol. It doesn't represent. It is reality. And then, in like manner, also the cup. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. That's the death of the Lord, the reenactment, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. If it's just a mere symbol or a remembrance, why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put such a dire warning for those who receive unworthily, that they're guilty of the body of the Lord and they drink judgment to himself? We say this, this one, I can say negative point, but it's so true. As a reminder for all the whatever Catholics still go to church, but 80% do not believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And all the Protestants and other religions do not believe in it. And if they deliberately don't, they are hell-bound. That's what Jesus said here. Drinks judgment to himself, meaning eternal damnation. And that is a reminder for all of us to proclaim this truth to those who we are able to remind them of these quotations. In the gospel, he says, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, his own people, but some of them were enemies and were jealous of him. But he said, quote, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And then to the end of the quote, he who eats this bread shall live forever. That's not some wafer or cup of wine that the Protestants have. How can that lead you to eternal life? What is hopeful, though, but to remind you that from the time of the Last Supper, when Jesus Christ instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, all Christians, all Catholics believed in the Holy Eucharist, the real presence, until the middle of the 16th century, thanks to Queen Elizabeth I, Martin Luther, and a whole list of heretics. And they abolished Corpus Christi in their churches because it had been around for centuries. And so they, one by one, discarded this feast day. You know what's a little hopeful for the people of England and Scotland and Northern Ireland, the English people? Their Anglican church, about 150 years ago, reinstituted the feast, even though they don't have valid sacraments. They reinstituted it. And that's one of the hope for the people of England, because they have such a huge heritage in the faith and in tradition and ritual. It's in their blood. And they go to unbelievable lengths to restore and keep the old Catholic churches and cathedrals all over their country, keep them up, to restore them. My opinion is because before the end of time, maybe they will all be places of the true Catholic worship where masses once again will be offered. In fact, I believe that in my soul. One thing to remember before we have a reading we chose for today. Our Lord, when you see him in this beautiful crucifix, remember it is an artistic depiction of Jesus Christ as a victim. But he's also, more importantly, the priest who offers the victim. He offers himself. That's what he did on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. By the will of his Father, it was decided by the Holy Trinity, but it was God the Father that gave this mission to the Son of God. I want you to become like my creatures, to take a body and to live among them and to teach them and to suffer for them, to be a victim for them, to die for them. The Son of God dying for us, his mere creatures. But it wasn't to end. The Mass was to be offered over and over again. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do it. And then he gave us food for our journey, for our trek, our path, to keep us safe. None of us, I cannot, none of us here can begin to appreciate the value of the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, as food for our souls and for our bodies. It's the promise of Jesus Christ, so that if we are receiving the Holy Eucharist worthily and with love, it's almost guaranteed that we will get to heaven. And you can see how through the whole liturgical year, but especially this feast, you have the Holy Trinity living, existing from all eternity. And at one point in time, deciding to create the universe, the world, and everything in it, and then mankind, all of us. giving us an intellect and will like his, much lower in ability, but we're made in the image and likeness of God. But he gave us a free will that had and has, by God's providence. Once we know with our intellect, then we choose with our will. But he gave us, in a very mysterious way, a will that can actually turn away from him. Why would God do that? And theologians say at least one reason is because he doesn't want us to just choose him and choose heaven because we have to, and it's an almost instinctive. He wants us by our own free will to choose him, not to be forced. No one likes to be loved when they're forced to love. Because it's not free. It's not sincere. It doesn't have that mystical value. So he, from all eternity, came on earth to lift us up from sin and to bring us up to heaven. And that's the whole Paschal mystery of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So as we said, just because he is physically present in heaven, his body and everything about him, his whole humanity, his divinity, he wanted to be here and everywhere all over the world because God is everywhere. But he wanted to be in this tabernacle and tabernacles all over the world for all these centuries under the veil of food, the appearances of bread and wine. How beautiful that is. In such a simple way we can receive the Son of God and the Holy Trinity. When we are in the state of grace and we receive Holy Communion, it's an increase and a further perfection of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, that the Holy Trinity lives in each one of us. Make acts of faith, hope, and love in the Holy Trinity that is in within your soul. Finally, we'll read some words from The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. And this will be the last section, but I'm going to read it. It's a little bit long, but it is so important to hear it. This holy man, saintly man, wrote this book, even though it isn't inspired like Scripture, it might be second to Holy Scripture in terms of its depth and revelations privately to him, but for the whole world. It is read more than any other spiritual book after the Bible. And he had such a love of the Blessed Sacrament that he had one whole section, one whole book, you can say, because it's divided into four books, The Imitation of Christ. The fourth book is called The Blessed Sacrament. So this is book 4, chapter 2, titled, God's Great Goodness and Charity Are Shown to Man in This Sacrament. Now listen carefully and try the best you can to take it to heart. O Lord, trusting in thy goodness and in thy great mercy, I come sick to my Savior, hungry and thirsty to the fountain of life, needy to the King of heaven, a servant to his Lord, a creature to his Creator, and one in desolation to his tender comforter. But whence is this to me that should thou come to me? Who am I that thou shouldst give thyself to me? How darest such a sinner appear before thee? And thou, how dost thou vouchsafe to come to a sinner? Thou knowest thy servant, and thou knowest that he has nothing of good in him that can entitle him to this favor. I confess, therefore, my unworthiness. I acknowledge thy bounty. I praise thy goodness, and I give thee thanks for thy excessive charity. For out of thy own mercy thou dost this, not for my merits, that thy goodness may be better known to me, that greater charity may be imparted, and humility more perfectly recommended. Since, therefore, this pleases thee, and thou hast commanded it should be so, thy merciful condescension pleases me also. But oh, that my iniquity may be no obstacle. O most sweet and bountiful Jesus, what great reverence and thanks with perpetual praise are due to thee for the receiving of thy sacred body, whose dignity no man can sufficiently express. But what shall I think on this communion when I am approaching my Lord, whom I can never reverence so much as I ought, and yet long to receive with devotion? What can I think on better or more wholesome to my soul than to humble myself entirely in thy presence and extol thy infinite goodness above me? I praise thee, O my God. I extol thee forever. I despise myself and subject myself to thee, casting myself down to the depth of my unworthiness. Behold, thou art the saint of saints, and I am the greatest of sinners. Behold, thou bowest down to me, who am not worthy to look up to thee. Behold, thou comest to me. Thou art willing to be with me. Thou invitest me to thy banquet. Thou wilt give me thy heavenly food and the bread of angels to eat. No other, verily, than thyself, the living bread, who didst come down from heaven and who givest life to the world. Behold, whence love proceeds, what a bounty shines forth, what great thanks and praises are due to thee for such things. Oh, how wholesome and profitable was thy design in this institution, how sweet and delightful this banquet, in which thou givest thyself to be our food. Oh, how admirable is thy work, O Lord, how mighty thy power, how infallible thy truth. For thou hast spoken, and all things were made, and that has been done which thou didst command. O wonderful thing it is, and worthy of faith, and exceeding all human understanding, that thou, O Lord, my God, and true man, art contained whole and entire under the small form of bread and wine, and without being consumed, are eaten by the receiver. Thou, the Lord of all things, who stands in need of no one, has been pleased by this sacrament to dwell in us. Preserve my heart and my body without stain, that with a joyful and clean conscience I may be able to celebrate thy sacred mysteries, and to receive for my eternal salvation what thou hast principally ordained and instituted for thy honor and perpetual remembrance. Receive, O my soul, and give thanks to thy God for so noble a gift and so singular a comfort left to thee in this veil of tears. For as often as thou repeatest this mystery and receivest the body of Christ, so often dost thou celebrate the work of thy redemption and are made partaker of all the merits of Christ. For the charity of Christ is never diminished, and the greatness of his propitiation is never exhausted. Therefore, oughtest thou to dispose thyself for this, by perpetually renewing the vigor of thy mind, and to weigh with attentive consideration this great mystery of thy salvation. And as often as thou sayest or hearest Mass, it ought to seem to thee as great, new, and delightful as if Christ that same day, first descending into the Virgin's womb, had been made man, or hanging on the cross, was suffering and dying for the salvation of mankind. May God bless you.